We're going to be reading out of the book of Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 12 of this chapter. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're looking at the replacing of Judas. That's Judas Iscariot. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. That's 2/3 of a mile or 2,000 cubic feet. Verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number was about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder into the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out." Oh my. "And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue Akadema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.' Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'Thou, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that we may take part, or that he may take part in the ministry and the apostleship, which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.' And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." We're talking about replacing Judas Iscariot. You may be seated. In studying this scripture and looking at it carefully, I must confess that I have been remolded and re-sculptured in some ways by the Word. How many know the Word has a way of re-sculpturing, redefining, and making us to be more like Christ? And the more I read about Judas Iscariot, it's a hellish thing that he did. It's a horrific thing that he did. And in the selling of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, we find in this passage of Scripture that Peter stood up and said, "We need to replace him. There's 12 of us apostles, and we need to, now that there's just 11, we need to replace him." I want to make a quick observation. They were going to replace Judas Iscariot not because he died, but because he deflected and rebelled from his office. He rejected his office. I can prove that by telling you that when the other apostles died, they were not replaced. And so Judas was replaced not because he died, but because he rebelled against his position. He rebelled against his office. I love this passage of scripture where they gathered, and I think it's probably in the same upper room that Jesus Christ talked to them before his crucifixion. Probably the same upper room. Not sure, but a good chance that it was. And it lists the 11 apostles. Let me say quickly, there was more than 11 apostles in the Bible, in your New Testament. In fact, there are 17 apostles listed in the New Testament, recorded in this New Testament. 17 apostles. But there was only 12 who walked with Jesus Christ in his ministry and in his office as Jesus Christ walked from Jordan River to the cross of Calvary. Only 12. They were called his disciples. But there were many other apostles, and these are referred to as the 12 apostles. There's many other apostles. I can prove that just simply by giving you a few names. Matthias is an apostle. Barnabas is called an apostle. Paul is called an apostle. Even Jesus Christ, our Savior, in Hebrews 3, verse 1, is called an apostle. So there were many apostles, but only 12 select men that Jesus Christ chose, and Jesus Christ choosing them to train them and direct them. Now let me just point out some things real quickly, and I don't want to make things complicated, but I do, and I really want you to be interested in what is being said. It says that when they went to the upper room, they obeyed the word of Jesus Christ. He said, go and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, you shall be witnesses of me, both here in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost will come and empower you, and then you will go. And you will go like from Jerusalem to Rome. That's the theme of the book of Acts, from Jerusalem to Rome. And understand, it was Paul that took the gospel to Rome. And the apostles were increasing in great power, and the church was growing in great numbers, as we see. But notice he gives a list of the 11 apostles there in verse 13. I'll not read them again because we already did that. But it says they continued to pray in one accord. Supplication was made, and the women also prayed. The women were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And Jesus' fleshly half-brothers were there. I think it's interesting that James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, who became the superintendent of the church. In fact, Jesus Christ appeared to his brother James in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. To my knowledge, that is the only brother that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection, his brother James. But his brothers were so changed, Jude, James, his brothers were so changed that they wrote the book of James, as in James, and the book of Jude, as in Judas. Judas Iscariot is the one that was bad. You have Judas that was one of the brothers, half-brothers of Jesus. Then you have Judas, which changed his name to Thaddeus. And if I was named Judas, I'd change my name to Thaddeus too. No, I think I'd change it to maybe a better name, you know, like name like Theophilus. Amen. Eutychus, maybe. But I think it's interesting that Jesus appeared to James, and then Paul mentioned the other apostles after he rose from the dead. Have you got any idea how it must have been to grow up as a brother with Jesus? Have you got any idea what it must have been like when Mary would say, why can't you be like Jesus, your older brother? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine mom, dad saying, why can't you be like Jesus, your older brother? I want to say right now to everybody in this room, why can't you be like Jesus, your older brother? Including myself. And that's our whole desire, to be like Jesus. Now Peter, as backslid as he was, Jesus Christ came and healed him somewhat. Now they're praying, they're calling out to the Lord. And Peter stands up and says, we need to do something because one among us hung themselves. You got to understand that they're in that upper room. They're one accord. They're praying. They're making supplication to the Lord. But something is definitely, there's a stigma in the place. One of them they loved. One of them they knew. They thought they knew. One of them that they ate with. One of them that they loved with. One of them they worked with betrayed their Lord. This had to be a stigma that had to be dealt with. And Peter knew that I've got to deal, we've got to deal with this stigma of one of us committed suicide, one of us rejected Jesus Christ, one of us deflected from the office of bishopric. And Peter stands up and says, we've got to fix this. Now, a lot of people are real critical about Peter and say, no, this should have never been, Paul should have been the apostle. Understand that Paul didn't show up till 10 to 15, maybe even 20 years later. So we're talking a 10, 15, 20 year, depends on the math you do. That's a long hole, that's a big hole, that's a big gapping hole, it's a big gaping hole. And so Peter is standing up saying, look, we need some healing in this place. We need some understanding, we need just forgiveness in this place. Because the Holy Ghost won't come until there is some forgiveness and some healing in this place. I believe Peter was simply saying, it's time that we understand just what happened with Judas. And I believe with all my heart, you see, Jesus knew Judas was a dud. And if you're a dud, he knows you are too. I can't help myself, I just have to preach. But Jesus knew, in fact, St. John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus Christ said, I've chosen 12, and one of you is a devil. In his prayer to his Father in John 17, he said, Father, I've kept all them you've given me. None is lost. I've taken care of every one of them. And I've lost none that you've given me. Let me read this to you, verse 12, John 17. And while I was with them, he's praying to the Father about his disciples, when I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Understand, someone says, was Judas ever saved? No. I believe these verses very clearly state it. He did not fall from salvation. He fell from office. He fell from position. He did not fall from salvation. You say, well, preacher, you're sounding like someone's trying to defend the power of God. Yep, I am. You need to understand that Judas, in God's sovereignty, the Father did not give Judas to Jesus to keep. The Father allowed Judas to be numbered with the 12 to fulfill the scriptures so that the Son of God would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. And Judas fell. Judas Iscariot fell. Now, I know that's hard to accept. That's hard to understand. But let's look at this. Peter's trying to heal. He's trying to bring healing to the other apostles. You know, they must have felt really bad when they discovered that Judas had fallen away. You read the scriptures and they didn't really have any indication that Judas was a thief that carried the bag. They didn't really have any indication that Judas would be the one that would betray the Lord. So basically, while They're waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. While we wait, pray. While we wait, believe. While we wait, heal. While we wait, forgive. While we wait, let's understand what happened to Judas. Let's understand that he is going to be replaced. And he needs to be replaced because the scripture says that he needs to be replaced. Now, someone would say, well, Peter, you know, he's in that upper room. He doesn't know what he's doing. Well, he gave us scriptures, and not only did he give us scriptures, but I believe, how many believe the Bible? There are people who say, well, that the apostles didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't. John chapter 20, Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, I think if Jesus would come to you and breathe upon you and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost, I think that's exactly what you would receive. So these apostles did have the Holy Ghost at this juncture, and they did have the Word of God, and they did have the Old Testament. And so Peter, there's about 120 in this room. How many want to learn the Word of God? How many want to know? You know, I could twist this and change it and make it a little more favorable to our thoughts, but, you know, I just really believe we need to know the truth. When we go to the Bible, we need to know the truth. And in those days, verse 15, Peter stood up, told the disciples, and there was about 120 gathered besides the 11 apostles. And he said, men and brother, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. This is in verse 16, before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. Verse 17, he was numbered with us. And had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field, went in the reward of iniquity, and fell headlong, and burst asunder in the midst of all, and all of his bowels gushed out. A field was bought, named Alkadama, which means a field of blood, and is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, Peter is sharing Psalm 109, verse 8. He's sharing Psalm 41, verse 9. He's sharing Psalm 55, verse 12 through 14. Let's go to Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 49. I think it's 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9. Notice it says, and David is speaking, but a lot of things that happened to David was a picture of what would happen to Christ. And David said, yes, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's a scripture concerning not only David in his betrayal, but also Jesus in the betrayal of Judas Iscariot against our Lord. Look at Psalm 55, verse 12 and 14. Psalm 55, verse 12 through 14. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then would I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. That's Judas. Sure, it was one of David's friends, but that's Judas. Look at Psalm 109, verse 8. What did Peter say? This office needs to be replaced. There needs to be 12, not 11. There needs to be 12. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 109. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Wow. And that is the scriptures that Peter is sharing. Now, someone said, well, it doesn't say in Matthew 27 that Judas' bowels gushed out. Well, I know that. But we know that in Matthew chapter 27, Judas Iscariot sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And when he found that he was wicked and vile, he went back to the priest, the Sanhedrin, and took the 30 pieces of silver. He throwed it at the feet of the priest. And he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And the priest took the 30 pieces of silver because they couldn't take the silver because it was blood money to put it into the treasury of the temple. So they took the 30 pieces of silver to buy a field. That field is called Akedama, the field of blood. It's where Judas hung himself. Now, some believe that when he hung himself, he just hung there for a while and decomposed and rotted and the robe dropped and, you know, the time frame. I'm more apt to believe that he tied his rope or whatever it was on a twig that wasn't real strong. And when he jumped off to hang himself, the twig broke. He went headlong down a cliff and the cliffs of the rock just cut his belly wide open. His blood splattered in the field. Isn't Peter so descriptive? You know, that is really, you know, we could have done without that. No, we can't. His bowels gushed out. Boy, Peter can be so figurative, so picturous. And he said, let his position be given to another. Now, in verse 21 and 22, Peter gives the direction and the guidelines as to who to pick to replace Judas Iscariot's place. Verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied us with us to the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, that's John the Baptist, unto the same day that was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now that kind of narrows it down. And what Peter is saying is this man must be someone that was with us all along. This man has to be someone that was with us from the time that Jesus stepped on the scene, was baptized in Jordan. And you just got to understand, Paul don't fit this. But Matthias does. In fact, they picked two. Now, I'll get to Paul in a minute because I have a real problem with Paul not being the replacement. But we'll get to that. You got to remember, there's about a 15-20 year gap. So God is bringing healing to the disciples, to the apostles. And so it's necessary that one be replaced, that Judas Iscariot be replaced. Let me show you something that's very interesting. There was two that they picked out of, and I think there was more than two. I think there was several, but there was two. One called Joseph, called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus. Three names. No wonder they picked Matthias. Three names. And so they picked two people, and they said, now we got to figure out which one of these will take Judas Iscariot's place. Now, before we get into this casting lot nonsense, I said nonsense. Well, they didn't have the Holy Ghost then. They did. Well, they didn't have prayer. They did. Well, they didn't have connection. They did. Well, they didn't have the Word of God. They did. Let's get that out of our head. Casting lot is an Old Testament way of determining things that did not have the Holy Ghost, did not have the leadership of Christ, and when they cast the lots over these two men, it's the only place in the New Testament, the last time it was ever done, and it was never done again. It's an Old Testament thing. Yet they cast lots to decide whether it would be Joseph, Barsabbas, or Matthias. Before we do that, and how many are getting something out of this? I hope you're understanding what I'm not trying to be boring, but I'm trying to be thorough. Amen? And so, look at verse 20. Let's go to Luke 22, verse 28. Luke 22, verse 28. Luke 22, verse 28. And I want you to notice this because it's very important. that Jesus Christ is speaking here. And what is Jesus Christ saying in verse 28? And this is in chapter 22, verse 28, 29, and 30. Jesus says, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations." Paul can't fit there. He went on to say, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So Peter knew this. And so Peter said, there has to be 12, there can't be 11. There has to be 12 to fulfill the scriptures. So Peter says, we've got to fill this position. And so they picked two men, and they had been praying, seeking the Lord. You say, well, why can't God do it through a lottery system? Why can't he do it, you know, through a draw, a casting lots? Now, let me say this. I believe that Matthias is a replacement at this time for the 11 apostles to make the 12. I believe that Matthias will sit on a throne and judge the tribes of Israel. Paul can't, because Paul's of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul comes around later, but I do believe that Paul is God's chosen apostle to the Gentiles. And I believe that when it comes to showdown, now you see why I pulled my hair out getting through this. When it comes to showdown, Revelation 21, verse 14, and the wall of the city that had 12 foundations, speaking of the new city, Jerusalem, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I believe that Matthias will probably sit on the thrones judging Israel, but I got a good, sneaky position and feeling in my heart that Apostle Paul might just be one of those names on the 12 foundations of the walls of the city. Now, I don't know that. I can't prove it, but I know this. Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. In fact, Paul wrote half of the New Testament. Half of the New Testament, Apostle Paul brought. Paul brought the church to the place it was and brought the church to Rome. Paul, without him, we would be absolutely in the dark ages when it comes to the Bible. Without him, we would not have the guidance we needed. So Paul was a great apostle to the Gentiles. And he took, certainly, the church to Rome. The gospel was taken to Rome. So, Paul, I believe, has a special place with God. Matthias, I believe, has a special place with God. Let me stop and say this. Has God ever brought someone into your life that helped you get through something and then they were gone? Think about it. Has God ever brought someone into your life that helped you through a hard time in your life and then they're gone? I think that's kind of like Matthias. Now, Matthias did die. He was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. That's the history of it. But I believe that gap, that gaping hole had to be taken care of. And though Peter did what he did, I'm not going to be so arrogant to say he was out of step, but I am going to be very arrogant about the way they did it. Casting lots is no way to find out the will of God. They cast lots in Jonah. They cast lots over the garments of Jesus at the cross. The Roman soldiers did. When Jonah, they cast lots before they throwed him overboard in the storm. You say, well, how did the Jewish people cast lots? Well, Roman soldiers, they would do little pebbles and write marks on them. They'd throw them out like dice. Pagans would do something similar to that. We today do the scissor thing. And to this day, I do not understand the scissor thing. Do not understand it. I think every time that happens, they cheat. Hello? You say, what is a scissors? I don't know, but they do something like this, and then whenever it comes up. In my day, you draw the short straw, and you were had. Donnie, do you remember when we were at Clifford Campbell APCO gas station? You and your brother Jim, myself, Dana Boyer, we would get a quarter out, and we would decide who's going to buy the soda pop for that day. And we'd take a quarter, and we'd have a wall, and we'd flip that quarter, and whoever was farthest away from the wall had to buy everybody soda. Remember that, Donnie? I remember that. Well, you know, it isn't like that. Let me show you something that I think it's important. They drawed lots, and they cast their lots, and they fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Judy said to me, well, why can't God cause the lot to fall in its right place? Well, he can. And I think in this part he did, but there's still a principle here that we shouldn't follow. It ain't, I've got a quarter, I'll go to the world and preach the gospel. A young man, never been married before, he gets a girlfriend, he thinks he's going to marry. He said, wait a minute, let me get a quarter and flip that. Heads I win, tails you lose. I'm going to go buy a car, let me flip it. Heads you win, tails I lose. We're going to pick a pastor. We got two guys going to be the pastor of the church. We got to pick one of the two that's going to be the pastor of the church. Let's flip a quarter. Heads, that one wins, tails, that one loses. Now, is that any way to pick someone? No. And someone said, well, the apostles didn't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost at that time. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Peter was speaking incredible wisdom on the Psalms of David about how Judas had to be replaced. And so listen to me. We don't live in the day where we flip a coin. This is how the Jewish people did it. And I know this is just lettuce with the meal, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The way the Jewish people cast lots is they took a live fruit branch, a small fruit branch that was living, that was fruitful, and they'd strip it down and they'd cut it up in little pieces, and they'd mark each piece, and they would cast those pieces of that fruit limb that's cut up in pieces into a white sheet. They'd throw the sheet up, they'd pull from the branch, and whatever was written on it, they would write on it, and that would decide their cast lots. Don't you wish it was that easy? How many in this room, don't you wish it was that easy? The doctor says, you know, you need to do this. Well, I'll just flip a coin, doc. Heads you lose, tails I win. You got the car dealership, and the guy says, I'll sell you this car, and so hold it just a minute. I'm going to flip this coin, and heads you win, tails I lose. If it comes up heads, I'll buy the car. If it comes up tails, I won't buy the car. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could just take a coin and go into all the world and flip the gospel to everybody? Huh? That's not how God chose. God is choosing in the second chapter of Acts that we are to be endued with power from on high, the Holy Ghost, and they were praying and making supplication unto God. It's still about prayer. It's still about hearing from God. It's still about knowing what God is saying in our heart. It's still that unction in our heart to know that we know that God wants us to do something. We must hear from God. We must listen to God. Whether Matthias was the actual one that should have been, that doesn't change history. That doesn't change what happened. It is what it is. But I want to tell you, friends, nowhere in the gospel are we taught to cast lots, to flip a coin. We are to pray, talk to God, and let the Holy Spirit that lives in us lead and guide us into all truth. That's the way to get her done. Amen? And so we have this first chapter of Acts. And Peter stands up. You know, I used to think when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and men and brethren, this is not people that are filled with wine, drunken as you suppose, but this is people that have been filled with the new wine, the Holy Ghost. And Peter preached that great sermon, thousands were saved. I used to think, well, that must have been really hard for Peter to stand up and preach that gospel, the first one on the day of Pentecost. The hardest job that he ever done was try to fill the office of Judas Iscariot. There needed to be healing there. How many know there was probably a lot of bad feelings? The sheep had been scattered. There'd been all kinds of problems. There was a lot of hard feelings there and a lot of misunderstanding. So I'm going to say something tonight, and I want you to listen to me. This is for your own good. This is for your own good. Got it? The providence of God. If you're a Christian, God chose you and gave you to Jesus Christ. God did not choose Judas and give Judas to Jesus. God allowed Jesus to choose 12. God did not give Judas to Jesus to save or preserve, but to fulfill his own will, God's own sovereign will. Now, whether you like that or not, Judas was just a piece of puzzle in the hands of God Almighty. Isn't that good? I said, wait a minute, preacher. What are you saying? I'm saying that Judas never. Now, could he have repented? Yes. Could he have lived for God? Yes. Could he have loved Jesus and served Jesus? Yes. Did he have to betray the Lord? No. But the Father knew he would. And it was preordained and ordained that he would. You say, well, how can God say, Judas, you got to do this, and still give Judas a choice? That's how the mystery of God is. That's how incredible the will of God is. I'm glad Jesus chose me. I'm glad God chose me and gave me to Jesus Christ. And you listen to me very carefully. You're more secure than you think if you're a Christian. Because what happened was that the Father chose you and gave you to Jesus Christ. And when the Father gave you to Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, died on that cross for your sins, buried in a tomb, rose again from the grave. Jesus Christ has made a commitment that I hold you in my hand and you shall never perish. I give unto you eternal life, John chapter 10. I give unto you eternal life. You hear my voice, you come to me, you're in my hand. No man's able to pluck you out of my hand. I give unto you eternal life. And it's proven by the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. Father, I have lost none except one you wanted me to lose. There's always been this question about Judas. And I say it without any apology. He was never saved. He chose to betray the Lord. He chose to turn his back on Jesus Christ. And he died and went to his place. Whatever that place is, that's where he went. And I say it without apology. There's things that happen in our life we don't understand. God allows us to go through hard times in our life. How many ever went through hard things in your life? Hard times. God allows us to go a death of a family member, a problem in finances, a physical sickness, a problem in your life, a problem with a child, a separation, maybe a suicide, maybe something that has happened in your life that devastated your life. God, in his divine providence, says, I've got that covered. You're okay. It's going to be okay. Because you say, well, it sounds like God just does what God wants to do. You got it. I said, you got it. And you'll never be a good prayer till you realize, hey, God can do anything. You'll never be a good prayer till you realize, hey, God, there's no limits to what I can ask you to do. And boy, I ask a lot of stuff. And I ask impossible things. God has chosen maybe me to go through a hard time. I don't know why I had the car wreck and why I was crippled. And I don't understand why that happened. But it happened. I'm a better man for it. I know my Bible better than I've ever known before because of that wreck. And because of that time of discipline, that time of rest, and that time of digging into the Word, I have a much deeper, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Was it God that made me have that wreck? No, God allowed me to do it. He allowed it to happen. And I wouldn't have chose it. God knows I wouldn't have chose it. I like my Mustang too much. It's gone. It's graveyard dead. I wouldn't have chose it. But God says, no, I'm going to use this. To all them that love me, to all them, all things work together for good to them that love God, that are the called, that are chosen, the children of God. Amen? What is that, Acts 8:28, something like that? What is it, 8? Yeah, Romans. I'm in the book of Acts. Romans, thank you, Josh. You should have helped me Wednesday night with the 184,815 soldier mistake. I said 185 Assyrian soldiers were killed by an angel. Yeah, minus. I forgot to say there was 184,000 more, 815 of them, that I omitted. Thank you, Josh. I wish you'd have spoke up sooner. I know Jerry caught it. I know he caught it. I didn't catch it. But see, I just thought you were so intelligent that I could be stupid once in a while and you'd catch it anyway and know that it's 100. I'm making excuses for myself now, but please hear me. I don't know what you're going through, but God's got this covered. God loves you. And you're going to go to heaven because God has chosen you to go to heaven. You say, I thought I chose. You did. You were drawn by the Spirit of God. But you would have never been drawn by the Spirit of God if the Father didn't give you to Jesus. And the Father gave you and I to Jesus Christ, so that Jesus Christ can forgive us, wash us, cleanse us from our sin, preserve us, and keep us until we get to heaven. You say, preacher, you don't sound like a Pentecostal preacher. I sound like a Bible preacher. Amen. I mean, this is just what the Bible says. Makes no difference what's above the name, what a name's above the church. The name doesn't matter. The Bible matters, and the truth matters. And I believe I shared with you the exact truth of the Scriptures right here tonight. You've heard them. The truth is there. And so we need to understand that. The Bible always said Judas went to his place. We think he went to hell. You know, I don't know, but I know the place is a special place for him. Amen? So we're going to give an invitation tonight. I'm glad you came. We're going to be in the book of Joel Wednesday night. And we'll be back in chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, Sunday night here at the church. We'll also be in some miracles in Acts again. How many of you enjoyed the miracle message this morning? Paul's Eutychus miracle. Amen. What an awesome miracle. And I hope you've enjoyed tonight, and I hope your eyes were open to some things in this great book of Acts. Oh, stand with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love it, don't you? I don't know what road I might have to walk, but I know that the sufferings of this life cannot even begin to compare to the glory that shall be revealed in Christ in the future. God heals, God does miracles, God's incredible. The altar's open for you to come if you want to talk to the Lord.